Hey everybody, I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Stories. Storytelling. Throughout the ages of time, stories have captured our attention. We have found ourselves and find ourselves listening, relating, and connecting to the story as well as to the person of the story. Having thoughts of, I'm not alone. You are not alone. We are in this thing called life together. Hey everybody, this is Dr. Deb Lind and welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Every week we bring amazing guests, whether they're subject matter experts, inspiring souls, forward thinkers, or perhaps even wounded healers. In June is PTSD Awareness Month. And here at PTSD and Beyond, we've been working on something pretty special for you. Something that you can listen to each and every day. Each day in the month of June, we'll be sharing the unique story of someone with lived experience with trauma and PTSD. We'll learn a little bit about their journey, how they're progressing through a healing journey, as well as hear their post-traumatic growth and how they've found meaning, purpose, and a superpower in the process of healing. We got to let you guys know that we are extremely grateful for all the folks that have shown tremendous courage to come on the podcast and share their stories and inspire everyone to listen to this podcast around the globe. We've had folks from England, Canada, New Zealand, India, Malaysia, Australia, the United States, and beyond. We felt that there was no better way to honor PTSD Awareness Month and to share the stories of our brothers and sisters from around the world and acknowledging their trauma, their challenges with PTSD, but also to teach us and to inspire us, allowing us a glimpse of their healing journey. We here at PTSD and Beyond hope that these stories will touch your heart and touch your soul and offer you inspiration and compassion for others suffering from PTSD, from folks that are affected by PTSD, as well as yourself. These are the powerful lived experience stories of real people. They are the champions who keep striving, who keep healing, who keep growing, and who keep living. We hope that you enjoy the PTSD and Beyond 30 Stories in 30 Days, honoring PTSD Awareness Month. Remember to please share these episodes with folks that you feel and you know will benefit. Remember to subscribe, like, and share. So let's give a listen to today's guests. 30 Stories in 30 Days starts now. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. And guess what we have today? We have another Share Your Story segment. And I want to give a heartfelt welcome to Elena Haven. Elena, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
For sure, for sure. We were talking a little bit before we were recording about your story and sharing that with us. And how about if you share just a little bit about your story with us today?
I'm 51 years old. I am an adult survivor of childhood abuse. My abuse started at age 2 with just sexual abuse from 2 to 10 by my father, and then from 10 up until he died, and that was around college age, maybe early 20s. Of course, that abuse stopped. And then sadly, my mom kind of, I feel like she kind of took over where he left off. I've blocked out a lot. If I tried to remember anything from my childhood, it's like bits and pieces. And the only things that I could see are like flashes of the trauma. It's like a quick, when I was getting along with my mom, I did ask her a lot of questions and I started putting pieces together. And at the age of 48, when I was in an abusive relationship, that ended real bad, that's when some of my memories started surfacing. And I feel like from then, my life just took a deep dive into a rabbit hole. And I didn't feel like there was any ending in sight. I've had a lot of perpetrators throughout childhood, young adult. My brother happened to be one of them. My mom's boyfriend, a police officer, a coworker. I've been gang raped. I just never felt like I belonged anywhere. I would make friends with people that I thought I felt comfortable fitting in, but I just ended up getting in more trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I have a extreme high fear of police officers. Maybe just a level down from that would be men in general. And then, of course, I've been abused by females, so it just seems like I feel like I can't trust anybody. And when I try to make myself vulnerable, I end up devastated and re-traumatized. But 3 years ago, when everything started, I got into a lot of legal trouble. I was such a mess. I was just drinking a lot to numb my pain.
One of the questions that we talk about too is, you know, how does trauma affect our lives, you know? And what I'm hearing you say is that there are things that are the recall memory is a challenge. And then also, you know, trust, you know, who to trust, when to trust, where to trust. Trust is a common theme among us survivors, you know, from trauma and traumatic events, especially when they've been reoccurring.
Mm-hmm.
And then, How do we cope with it? So what do we do so we can still feel, but not feel what we don't want to feel? Are there other ways that trauma has affected your life?
Well, I was just getting ready to go into one of the legal troubles I got into was one of two OWIs. I was court ordered to take an alcohol class. And I was sitting in the group, and a lot of things that the, I guess he's kind of like a therapist, would bring up, like one thing he mentioned was alcoholics defend their character. And I started thinking, you know, wait a minute, you know, I've defended my character, but it wasn't related to alcohol. And then I started doing more research on how different kinds of abuse can affect somebody. I went through the whole list of sexual, mental, verbal, physical. I went through every imaginable abuse there is out there. And I asked the question, what does this kind of trauma do to you? And I learned so much. And I realized that people that have a drinking problem share a lot of those qualities as someone that's been abused.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, the downfall to the alcohol court-ordered group, the therapist took advantage of the situation and would tell my probation officer one thing and tell me another. And that's how I started feeling more and more untrustworthy of people in authority.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter their title. I see so many people taking advantage of their titles, and they are literally ruining people's lives. And it seems like they don't give it a second thought.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so determined to look at everything, and I was able to get information printed out of my file, and I had someone with me, and I met this alcohol counselor, and I said, why are you telling me one thing and telling my probation officer something else? And he knew, because I was pretty much almost done with my hours, and he knew he was caught.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it's mind blowing that people like this exploit, you know, alcoholics, people with mental health issues. And it just made me realize how uneducated people in those positions really are. Law enforcement, judges. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So when I got my second OWI, I made a point and I stressed to my attorney, you are going to involve my mental health in this, because I know that that is the core of all of this. And he did that, which was amazing.
You know, it's interesting when you're talking here and sharing right now, there are elements of determination and elements of strength and elements of a deeper understanding and awareness of what you need as well as who you are. And from trauma and struggle, there's a growth component. How have you grown?
Well, in the beginning, I just thought my life is just, this is going to be my life. I was so deep in that rabbit hole that I didn't see that there was a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just told myself, you know, I have two choices. I could stay in this hole, or I could try to get some, I don't know if this is the right word, but a semblance of a life. You know, I'm going on 50 years old. You know, I should be enjoying this part of my life. And so I just couldn't believe all the research, the things that I found out about mental health. I mean, abuse has affected every aspect, how I raise my children, how I interact with people, relationships. I mean, it just, and I just wanted, I'm like a sponge. I wanted to learn everything. And I go to two therapies, a talk therapy and an EMDR. when I was looking for a therapist, I came across a lady that stressed I had to have trauma therapy. And she said EMDR is like, it's not well known, but it's been shown to be very effective. So my talk therapist was amazing. She explained things to me that it's like, wow, you know, I can't believe the connection. And then the EMDR, it changes the way your mind is rewired. And I was kind of skeptical, but I started noticing the changes. I used to worry so much about what people think. And it's like little by little, I started separating myself from that. I do have, you know, I fall off the wagon, as some people say, but I get right back on, and I'm just very determined to keep pushing through, even when I'm, you know, I might fall off that wagon and be very upset. It's like, you know, I'm the only one that's going to fight for me. And if I don't do it, no one else is. And I'm bound and determined to not let all these perpetrators win. So even though I kind of explain it to my two therapists, I kind of feel like small achievements that I make are on paper. It's like I can't feel it, and I feel like I should.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
And it's frustrating. I mean, just like stuttering and my lack of short-term memory. I mean, it's mind-blowing how the mind truly works. And I think I've only scratched the surface. And it just makes me want to learn more and more, you know, and I would love to help other people.
It's beautiful. Well, I can just tell you that right now.
I don't know how to get the way.
That's okay. Right now, there's somebody that's listening that is saying, it sounds like she's talking to me. What you're saying feels so close to somebody right now, a listener out there. And when we grow from our trauma, there's a beyond part, which is why we have PTSD and beyond. It's our superpower. And we talked about this a little bit before we started our recording about your superpowers, because you identified three, which are your articulate, you're insightful, and this inner strength of getting back up and putting your foot, one foot in front of the other, and to continue going. Those are beautiful superpowers.
Yeah, when I was asked about it originally through group, I'm like, honestly, I don't know. It seems like maybe my subconscious knows, but, and not that I need praise or, you know, that's not what I'm looking for. I just need a little assistance, because I don't always see what's probably right in front of me. And it's always been hard to take compliments, because I always feel like there's a price tag attached to it. And yeah.
If you were to say something, because we're getting ready to wrap up here, if you were to say something to the person who is listening to you and is really going, you know what, I really do. Yep. I get what she's saying. I can feel it. What would be something that you would say to someone that's listening that feels that way?
Well, it's kind of like when I was asked at the beginning of my therapy, what would you say to your younger self? And I think it was too soon to ask because it's like, I have no clue. But then as I learned more and more, I started figuring out what I would actually say, that you'd be surprised how much strength you have inside of you. And me being going on 52 years old, this is the last thing I would be wanting to do right now. But, you know, I have my children to live for.
Mm-hmm.
I have my two grandchildren, and I know I'm going to have more grandchildren. And I feel like I have a lot to teach other people. And I know eventually I'll figure out how to get my voice out to other people and say that, you know, you got to reach deep inside and look at yourself and know that you can't let these people win. And everybody is important. No matter what you've been through, you do matter. And it's taken a while to realize that, because I've been beaten down my whole life. But if you just take a step back and think about what you actually heard come out of these people's mouth, you think, well, that's not really true.
Mm-hmm.
And you could come up with things that contradict that. It's like, well, I'm not stupid because I've done this, this, and this. You know, and I'm part of a lot of support groups on Facebook, and I see all these people wanting to give up, and I try to give them that word of encouragement that you just, as hard as it may be, and as bad as it may seem, I know some people say what goes up must come down, but, you know, it's only going to get better. It can't get any worse than where you already are. And you just gotta just keep clawing your way, and eventually you'll see that light. And you gotta surround yourself with positive people. And you just gotta, if you can't find it, keep looking, because they're out there.
I love that.
Just like this podcast, you know, I was so fortunate for you to send that message out. Does anybody want to tell their story? And I've been dying to tell my story. And I just feel like in a way that I was meant to meet you. And I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. And I know there's a listener out there that's saying, you know what, I really appreciate her sharing her story. Elaine, I want to thank you again for coming on today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. And remember, tomorrow we have another story, and we'll chat with each other then.
We hope you enjoyed today's guest and their story on 30 Stories in 30 Days on the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Remember to hit that subscribe button, as well as to like and share and comment. And make a note, because guys, tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, we've got another story on 30 Stories in 30 Days at PTSD and Beyond.